terrific. listeners, we're talking to Emily Murdoch of Mooney Farms / Bella San Luci. And Emily, you're going to tell us, what is the relationship between Mooney Farms and Bella San Luci?
Of course. Well, first and foremost, thank you so much for having us today. Mooney Farms is the Mooney family's original company that they started way back when they moved up from Sonoma, California, up to Gridley, California, and started their ranch. From there, it's really blossomed into a beautiful company over the last 40 or so years. And Bella San Luci is their premium brand. So that's how
they are
interconnected.
Oh, it's fabulous. Yeah. So anyhow, so it's been going on a long time. How many farms? It's just the one farm.
Yes, they originated with their one family farm. And that was quite some time ago. The Mooney family, who has multiple siblings, the story is actually amazing. When Mary was about 21, 22, she got a call from her brother. And he said, you have to come home. We have to help Mom save the ranch. Because at that time, the Mooney family, Gretchen Mooney, the matriarch of the family, was a single mother with all her children.
Oh.
And they had to save the family ranch. And so Mary, now at her fancy job in San Francisco, had to come home to the family farm. And their job was they had to raise over $30,000 within a mere 30 days to save their family farm. Yeah. Of course, undeterred by the immense task ahead, the family set out with making kiwi jam is where it started.
Oh, kiwi jam. What a funny thing to start with.
Yeah, I know. Gretchen was very, 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 very well-versed in the kitchen. She made an excellent set of jams and jellies. But Gridley, California, where their family farm was, they were kiwi farmers. And so that's how they originally started out. And from there, in 30 days, they raised well over the $30,000 by making and selling this kiwi jam on the side of the road. Yes, on the side of the road. Mary would head down to the Marin County Civic Center and showcase at different farmers markets. The whole family worked tirelessly for that entire month, and they made it happen, which was wonderful. But from there, in less than a year, they reached a $1 million mark with their kiwi jam sales, and so that kind of propelled them into this next step in all their lives in food manufacturing.
I'll be darned. you know, it's just the story, the backstory to me in this specialty food industry is what really has me just fascinated. I mean, I just love listening to these stories.
Now, why kiwis, for heaven's sake? They're not exactly native to California, I wouldn't have thought.
Gridley? What was that?
I said I've been wrong before.
Oh. You know what? I don't have a high understanding of kiwi fruit in general or specifically, but in general, the Feather River Valley, where Gridley is located in California, is well known for kiwi production. So that's kind of where that start happened when the family did move up from Sonoma to buy this kiwi ranch. So, yeah, I guess it's just a perfect storm.
We just interviewed somebody who was from New Zealand, and of course that's kiwi territory. And but she has a company that involves seeds, nothing having to do with kiwis.
Oh, amazing. I know.
Yeah. So, and she came to the U.S. by way of Japan, which is also strange. That's what I said to you.
Goodness,
I love all these backstories, you know.
Oh, it's amazing. It really is amazing. It's it's more profounding that it's with a whole family that started this, and they pulled together to once again save the family farm. And from there, on a day-to-day basis, we work with members of the family. Obviously, Mary we see every day, and her sister Kelly. Steve, one of the brothers, was very instrumental in building out the sun-dried tomatoes and to where it is today on the production side. So, and Gretchen, who is now passed on, was such a matriarch of the family and just, you know, a go-getter in herself that really instilled that in all of her children.
It's just amazing how they've hung together for all those years, too.
Oh, of course. Family's at the root of everything they do, tradition and quality. I mean, you can see that working for them. You can see that through our range of products. I mean, as you mentioned before, sun-dried tomatoes were that mixed product that they actually started making because they thought, what else could we do, you know, not just kiwi jam. So that's how we kind of broke into that sun-dried tomatoes in oil segment. And from there, I mean, it was crazy. Mary describes it as she went into Price Club, which is now Costco, at the beginning of her whole introduction of the sun-dried tomatoes. And she said she went in with a jar and a fork and sold the Price Club or Costco buyer, where he promptly ordered one pallet of product. And little did she know, the demand for sun-dried tomatoes would be so overwhelming that within only 4 hours, they had sold an astounding $8,000 worth of product and was the club's, like, number one item. So he said, I don't need just one small pickup truck from the pallet she delivered in her old Ford pickup truck. He needed, like, a whole pickup truck. He had to kind of talk about the definitions of, like, I need 22 pallets. I don't just need this one pallet. So, yeah.
Well, what do you think? I mean, it's kind of a phenomenon, isn't it? I mean, what do you attribute the success of this company to? And the family, the location, I mean, what? How many succeed in the face of how many who fail in the business?
Of course. Under the steadfast leadership of all of the family, and especially Mary with her, like, guerrilla marketing tactics and everything, what stands true and what Mary and the whole family will never stray away from is that quality and tradition is at the root of everything Mooney Farms produces for the Bellas and Lucci label, for any brand that we've branched out from and have. Quality is always there. We stood... And we'd never have packed in seed oils, so no canola oil, no low-end oils. We always pack in pure olive oil with our sun-dried tomatoes that come from California fields. So it's an exceptional product for the most part for the sun-dried tomatoes. And I would say that is where the company kind of has their competitive advantages, is we've always been a pillar of quality in the food world, which sets us apart.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can vouch and swear for the sun-dried tomatoes. you're taking a little bit of an expansion in a side direction, in a way, with your latest product line. So traditionally, the products were the sun-dried. Tell us what the sun-dried tomatoes and what else? What were the original?
So once kiwi jam, you know, fun spot kind of came to fruition, and that was done with the sun-dried tomatoes really took over, and we put.
Yeah, I never had any of the kiwi jam. I never even knew there was kiwi jam involved with it.
We may have some cases in the back, but I think they're more of just almost like trophies to the family these days. But the recipe still stands strong with the family. They still make it, but. The sun-dried tomatoes, we have the halves of a sun-dried tomato, which is actually fresh tomato. Yeah, cut in half. And then each individual half, which I always found interesting, it's actually sun-dried down, and that's where you get that one round piece from. And then we have the julienne cut version of it, which is a little bit easier for cooks and everything. It kind of takes that cutting step out of it. And we have expanded into a sun-dried tomato pesto, as well as a bruschetta, and then we just launched a few years ago a smoky chipotle spread with sun-dried tomato, which is one of my personal favorites. So,
yeah, I've not tried that one. That sounds good.
Now, where do you fit into all of this?
I was fortunate enough to meet Mary, and then I loved her personality and her dynamic and the whole family, and Mooney Farms in general is just a very, very beautiful place and the products they stand for. And so, you know, a job opportunity came up, and I was just so eager to be part of the team. And I joined a couple, almost 5 years ago, and that was kind of the rest of that.
Your story actually sounds a little bit like the family that runs Point Reyes cheese production.
Oh yeah, I was thinking of that. But the same thing. They all went on to these big corporate jobs and whatnot, and then they needed to save the family business, and so they all. It was mainly the daughters that came home and back to the and did that.
What happened? Just my recollection of the story is a little bit more complete than Anne's. But what happened was the patriarch of the family was in the food business, but in milk rather than anything else.
So they
made milk runs and so on and so forth around Point Reyes. But what happened was the demand for whole milk collapsed, and they had to figure out what to do with the patriarch of the family, who has spent his whole life delivering whole milk. So they all got together one weekend and realized that the only thing they could do was, instead of dealing with whole milk, they had to make cheese.
It's the daughters, I think, that are responsible.
There are four daughters.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And that's really what it's all about, just pivoting and, you know, innovating. You have to keep moving. You have to keep moving or, you know what, you're not going to make it. But, yeah, it is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, we hear a number of stories like that. I mean, the Chef's Garden, he'll tell you the family farm was whatever you call that when they can't keep it for money and somebody takes it away and they, what do you call that? And not bankrupt, but you know what I mean. And so one of the sons took over and made this terribly successful, wonderful Chef's Garden operation out of it.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, I mean, it goes on. But now, the way we touch base with you again is that you've branched out into additional products and operating systems. And I guess I got a press release about that and was fascinated about it. Tell us about the new directions of Mooney Farms and Bella Sunlucci. Go ahead.
Yeah, our new salad vinaigrette line. So the original salad vinaigrette line launched in 2021. It started with three flavors. So we have the Sonoma vinaigrette, which was actually Gretchen Mooney's, one of her recipes that all of the kids grew up eating, and that was something that they enjoyed. So that was the inspiration and the backbone kind of for that one. And then you have the California orange, which that one is amazing. It has an orange essence. It's made with a pure and raw honey that's actually sourced locally from here in Northern California. And then you have a balsamic vinaigrette that is made with Denegris aged balsamic vinegar, as one of the Mooney family's good friends, Denegris, for quite some time. They've always wanted to collaborate on a product together. So that was exciting to be able to kind of bring that together and make that happen. But recently we added a Meyer lemon with basil and then a new champagne vinaigrette made with champagne vinegar from grapes that have actually been harvested throughout the Napa Valley and California. So that was really exciting. But I will say that the biggest thing about this entire vinaigrette line is it's made with 100% olive oil. So it kind of stands on those same pillars of
the quality
and
nutrition. A lot of these, the information I got said that a lot of these dressings use other oils and dilute the olive oil. Is that true?
No, yeah, that's kind of what we came to find out. I mean, as you turn around that bottle, as people do more and more these days, you see that, you know, the number one ingredient isn't olive oil.
Oh,
it might say oil on the front of the bottle. Oh, are we back? Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, good. You'll see that, you know, canola oil and some other, I like to call them dirty oils, are used to kind of diminish the health benefits of what olive oil is. I mean, it probably has to do with some type of costing, but we stand for so much more quality in our products, and we couldn't make a product that didn't have pure olive oil in it. So, yeah, all of our dressings, and that's really where a lot of the flavor comes from.
There are a lot of these things that go on in food production. I mean, I'm not aware of until I interview somebody, then I find out that all these other things are snuck in without the consumer knowing anything about it.
I know, some good marketing, right? Isn't that the craziest thing? I know. Oh, my gosh. You would be surprised. I mean, it's a little deceptive, unfortunately, but, I mean, we try to pave the way in honesty and responsibility in those terms. We want our consumers to enjoy something, but also have it kind of follow that Mediterranean diet lifestyle of being good for you, too. So.
Now, what's it been like for the last few years in California? It seems like growing crops has been really, really difficult.
Oh, yeah. With the past few years with the drought that we've experienced and, you know, different wildfires and different different factors kind of leaning into that, and then the pandemic on top of that, of course, that affected everyone. But, yeah, I feel like we've kind of had a run for our money lately of having to go through different things. But the tomato crop still stands strong. I mean, California is the largest producer of fresh tomatoes in the U.S. I believe it's almost like 90% of the U.S.'s crops come from California. So, and then that with olive production as well. But
right. Yeah. I think I read a whole book on all these products that are generally widespread, but they all really have their origins in California, and the bulk of the products are actually from California. So,
yeah, and I think it really all has to do with the amount of farmland that we really have the ability to have, and then the sun. I mean, the climate here kind of doesn't compare to a lot of other places in the U.S., so we have that in our favor.
But what happens if the climate keeps changing?
You know, I'm not too sure if I can speak to that, but I do know that there's different sciences underway. They're always working on something in some different way. I know greenhouse production has become pretty popular in recent years as well. So.
Yeah, right. Well, no, part of the joy and wonderful experience of your job is for you to participate in the family's brainstorming for this new product development. What's that like for you?
Oh, every day here is something different. I mean, we don't even actually hold titles just because a lot of us wear so many hats. And so we are lucky enough to actually gather down. The Mooney family has a large R&D kitchen where we'll actually all gather and try these different formulations that we've come up with, and kind of trying to get that nostalgic feeling of the family's past recipes that they've had as children, and trying to recreate that for our customers. So it's a long duration of time, but it's very heartfelt. The heart really goes into each and every one of our recipes and new formulations that that really inspires the launch of all of our products.
Yeah, I could tell your enthusiasm just talking about it.
Oh, and it's all tasty. I mean, I love food, so I'll always volunteer to get a sample of whether it be salad dressing or maybe a tomato spread, something like that. Oh, or when we did our new sauce starters, I think I added those into your little package that we sent over. That was a fun thing to be able to make because it was just pasta.
Which one was
I
that?
I mean, so much pasta. It's our resealable squeeze.
Oh, right. I know what you mean. Yeah, they're great. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that one with the R&D. Oh, my goodness. I think I couldn't eat pasta. Oh, I don't know. I say that, but I think if someone brought me a bowl of pasta, I would really eat it, actually. I say that now, but that was filling for sure. Yeah, our chef actually went back to Italy for a month or two, and I think I lost a few pounds because we didn't have any R&D that was too heavy. I know. I think I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to survive. I'm going to dwindle away, but I was just fine.
I mean, how large a family is this? I mean, like, how many people are a family?
Ooh, okay, let's think. So, originally there was one, two. There was five siblings. Since then, four, for the most part, carried on as there was an accident, and one of the family members had an accident. I'll just leave it at that. But other than that, four of them did carry on with Gretchen, their mother. And now we have Kelly Mooney, and then we have Mary Mooney, and that's really it. That's for the family. And then obviously their sons and their family that come in and work throughout the year. But yeah, it's a family dynamic. And you know what? I always love to say that if you're not family when you start at Mooney Farms, by the time you're moving on to something else or most likely just retiring, because I would say 95% of the people that come here, they don't leave because you become family. That's the most wonderful thing. They really have that, like, Italian Mediterranean tradition of, you know, you're family when you come to our table. We all eat lunch together. Yeah, we all eat lunch together every day, too. It's the family style. It's a really beautiful company to work for in that sense.
It sounds like fun. I may quit my job and come there.
I know. Yeah, I know. Come have lunch. Exactly. I know.
there's one noun that I haven't heard mentioned much in our conversation, and that's grape. Do you actually indulge in grapes too, or is it just veggies?
Indulging grapes? No grapes. That's something not for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, grapes are the ones that are probably suffering the most by all the wildfires and the other natural disasters in California.
Yes, most definitely. Different vineyards and things like that. We are a little bit more further. I mean, I think we're about 3.5 hours from Napa, so I couldn't speak too much
north.
About vineyards. Yeah, north. Mm-hmm. That's south of us, excuse me.
So what are you turning your attention to now that you have all these new products to deal with?
Oh, my goodness. We're just trying to keep up at this point, really. Our expanded line with the salad dressing, with the Meyer lemon and the champagne, are currently kind of where we're at. We're excited to launch them at the Summer Fancy Food Show and get some. Yeah, of course. Yeah. So we're excited to launch them there. They actually just were awarded a prestigious award, kind of backing on sustainability. I can't speak too much to it because we're not allowed to release any additional details about it, but you'll have to look for further press releases on that. But, yeah, the line is just exceptional. I think that it was more of a passion project for the family. And like I mentioned, like the nostalgia of, like, different dressings their mom would make and foods that they would have, you know, under the stars in Sonoma with their alfresco dining. But now it's just turned into something that, you know, just as much as we wanted to produce these healthier, olive oil-based, you know, no-gunk products, like the customers are obviously loving them too, so.
Well, it's true to the ideals of a Mediterranean cuisine, I could say that. And your product, I was particularly happy about your salad dressings because I used to make my own all the time. And, you know, my background is Sicilian, so we're all, you know, we have certain kind of standards. But
yeah, of course.
I wasn't keeping up with it since there just two of us are in the house now, and so I realized that when a cousin came for dinner, I didn't have any salad dressing at all.
No. Oh no.
So now I know there's one that I can depend on.
Oh yeah, dependable. Yeah, we say as good as homemade, only better. So. Yeah,
right.
Have that. That's just another pantry staple to add to your collection.
Well, Emily, honestly, you just you're a delight to talk to. It's so nice to talk to somebody who's happy in their job. Number one.
Oh, good.
No, the food people tend to be happy in their job. I have to say that.
Yeah, I probably fat and happy, but yes, I know. Oh goodness.
Oh, dear. Well, I thank you, and it's great meeting you, and keep us posted on new product development.
Oh, I for sure will, and you know what? I'll have to get some sun-dried tomatoes in the mail to you as well, just to make sure you have a good stock in your pantry.
Oh, God bless you.
Of course. Well, thank you guys
so much
for having me
thank
on.
Thank you.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Bye
bye.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
We're talking, listeners, to Rebecca Brady, a transplanted Kiwi. She's in Buffalo, New York, which is probably a far cry from her native New Zealand. Isn't it, Rebecca Brady?
Yeah, well, it's a wonderful place to live, though, still. You know, we get a lot of flack for the snow, but it's a beautiful city.
Uh-huh. Your company is Top Seeds. And that's spelt, listeners, S-E-E-D-Z. Very, very clever. Visually very satisfying, I might mention, Rebecca. And we're going to talk about how you got into this business with seeds. And that's actually what it is. How did you come up with this idea of seeds? And crackers.
Well, first of all, can I just, you probably made the connection already, but that Z at the end of the seeds is a call out to my home, New Zealand, a V from New Zealand, but you probably may put two and two together and figured that out already. I moved to Buffalo from having lived overseas, actually. I'd been living in Japan for 10 years and hadn't been working. So when I moved to the U.S., I was unable to find a job because I had that 10-year gap in my resume.
Yeah, so, I had one of those, too, for maternity. It's hard getting back
in. It is, and people warned me, and I thought, no, I'll be fine. But actually, you know, in reality, I have a 10-year gap in my resume, so I'm obviously not as employable as someone who's been working for the past 10 years. So, you know, I understand, employers looking at that and not seeing me as attractive as someone else. But anyway, it worked out fine. So I thought to myself, do something you love, never work a day in your life, right? So I love nutrition. And I love the connection between nutrition and performance, and you are what you eat, and, you know, you can perform better on the tennis court or on the squash court if you eat well. So I've always fed my kids healthy food and tried to eat as healthily as I could.
Uh-huh.
And I'd been making the crackers and roasted seeds forever, and people loved them. So I thought, okay, why not give it a try? So, yeah, I gave it a try, and it just grew and grew.
So, but you just happened to like seeds. Is that the connection here? And they're healthy.
Yeah, and And they're healthy. Yeah, they're really good for you. So when I was living in Asia, we were making a lot of things from scratch that we weren't able to buy because it's not part of a Japanese diet, for example, to have the crackers that I had growing up. And so I was just making things that I wanted to eat. So then when I came here, I would make them for people and people would love them. So, yeah, it just was something that I was naturally making already and people loved them. So I thought, why not?
One of my neighbors is married to a Japanese born, born person. And so she lived some time with him in Japan. And we were talking mainly about presentation and design is so gorgeous coming out of Japan.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, and she was saying even the toothpicks were beautifully designed.
Yeah, they've got a little grip at the top. Yeah.
Yeah, you know that too.
Oh, yeah, they take their time with everything, and everything looks amazing. The food, everything. It's a wonderful, wonderful country.
Yeah. So you had to leave there, I bet.
Yeah, we left. We got transferred here to the U.S. with my husband's company.
Okay.
So,
and that's why you're in Buffalo.
That's why we're in Buffalo.
Well, tell
and, you know,
how
we were
old. How old is this company, Top Seeds?
It's 7 years old. So I moved here 9 years ago, and started the business after, helping my kids get into school and finding doctors, dentists and things, getting everyone set up. And my kids were then teenagers, and that's kind of what prompted me as well to start thinking about going back to work. The kids didn't really want me around anymore. They were quite happy to be independent and not have their mother trailing along. So, yeah, after a couple of years here, I started it. So it's 7 years old now.
Well, The product is just wonderful, listeners. I have to tell you this. I've been, I probably eat one of your products on a daily basis. I mean, I keep a container of the crackers on my kitchen table, and I see them, and I just automatically reach for them.
Oh,
I should mention,
fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, they're organic, they're gluten-free, they're vegan, listeners. But the best thing of all is, in fact, that they're delicious. Now, the crackers I'm eating has sunflower, sesame, flax, and pumpkin seeds. I mean, are all these the ingredients you use, I mean, over and over again, or what are the different products? Tell us about your product line.
Yeah, thank you. That's the big thing, that our crackers, exactly what you said, are good for you. But the best bit is that they taste great. There are so many crackers out there that taste great that aren't good for you, and vice versa, crackers that are good for you but just don't taste good at all. So there's no incentive to eat them. But, yeah, the ingredients are pretty basic, as many seeds as we can. So I think you might be eating the sea salt. So that's got those four main seeds. But then we have another cracker that's got six seeds in it. So it's got those pumpkin, flax, sunflower, and sesame. But then it's also got chia and hemp in the sixth seed.
And then, isn't the one that's a little bit sweeter? I mean, I think I had one that had something sweeter in it.
Oh, yeah, that's the maple syrup. So that one just has that has pumpkin and sunflower seeds. That's a bit more like a granola, perfect with yogurt and fruit or with some chocolate. I try and avoid having junk at night, so I have some roasted seeds, but then I have a little bit of junk after it. Or if I'm really good, I just have some dark chocolate with it or something. But, yeah, I'm always trying to avoid that.
Well, how did you start this company? I mean, did you start in your kitchen?
Well, luckily enough, I didn't start in my kitchen because I wasn't allowed to. One of the ingredients of flaxseed has to be inspected and stored correctly, so they don't let you get a home processing license for that, which I think was fantastic. Because I think that was fantastic because I think I would have given up if I'd started at home. I could only make maybe one or two boxes an hour at home. So I was forced out to a commissary kitchen, and that was fantastic. They had a whole lot of equipment, a very low barrier to entry. All I was paying was this hourly rent. And that really incentivized me to be as fast and efficient as I could in this kitchen because I knew I was paying by the hour. So, and, you know, it all turns back to sport. You know, you have to be efficient on the tennis court, right? You're taking an extra step. You're wasting energy. You're wasting time. So I came up with a lot of really good processes on how we were making the crackers, how we were packaging them, and then obviously shipping them out. But, yeah, started in a commissary space and started selling them at a local farmer's market.
Huh. But you had never been in the food business before?
No, I had no idea what I was doing. You know, sometimes I think I still don't really know what I'm doing. But I know a little bit more each day. So, you know, I'm always learning. But, yeah, I knew nothing. So I just did really basic stuff. I sold it in a farmer's market, and then I went knocking on doors of the local co-ops. We have Wegmans is big here in Buffalo. So I went and knocked on the door and spoke to someone at Wegmans. And, you know, I have to say, every store I went into, people, you know, it's kind of intimidating, a little bit scary doing that, but people were very nice and welcoming and supportive.
There's a lot of competition because, I mean, there were aisles after aisles after aisles in supermarkets devoted to crackers. So, I mean, you picked a really tight market. What is so distinctive about yours? I mean, I know Mary's Gone Crackers. You know that company? Mary's Gone Crackers.
Yeah, they're great crackers. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we're similar to Mary's. However, our crackers are thinner than Mary's. And this may be easier on the mouth.
Uh-huh.
So, and the ingredients are a little bit different now. They're a little more denser with seeds. And, you know, it's just down to that taste again. You know, taste great and they're good for you. I think there aren't many things out there that aren't, you know, that taste great and are good for you.
One of the things that grabs me every time I get several out of the box is they're so crunchy.
Yeah. There's a really nice crunch.
But they don't break apart in the package.
No, they hold together.
A lot of these things we get end up as crumbs practically because the packaging is not correct. You've got the packaging down pat too.
It's a good one. Keeps it protected while it's shipped as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
So they're not in crumbs. Now,
and
you
the other
just want
to...
Yeah, go ahead.
Other thing that differentiates us a little bit is that it's a good-looking cracker. So on a charcuterie board, it looks really pretty with all the seeds and things. Yeah.
Yeah, there's some color to them and the different shapes of seeds. And you can tell can tell what you're eating as well. I mean, it's not all bushed together. But you won, I guess how we heard about you, you won a Sophie, which is the outstanding product from the Specialty Food Association, right?
Yes. Super exciting and very proud.
Right.
Way to go.
So you want outstanding product in which category? Crackers?
Yes, crackers and crisp breads.
And crisp breads, right. I mean, that's quite an accomplishment because there's so much competition in that category.
Yeah, I mean, and that was our 6-seed cracker. That's the black and white box. Yeah, it's an honor, and it's just amazing, and I'm really excited to get to the food show so we can, you know, talk to customers and let them try the crackers, and they can see how great they are.
Have you been to one of those before?
Yes, I have.
Yeah,
they're a lot of fun, a lot of talking, but a lot of fun, a lot of meeting people, and yeah. And, you know, once people get this cracker in their mouth, they love it. So it's really just about getting those samples out to people.
Uh-huh. Right. You know, we've always had a good time at the fancy food shows, although it's gotten so big now, it's almost unwieldy. But we went to one where the final in the World Cup was between France and Italy, and they both had huge exhibitions, and they closed down to watch the game. And every place you went, they had a little card saying they'd be back within such and such a time.
Well, sport is important. You got to support your country, right? Especially if they make it to the final of the World Cup. That's amazing.
So now, how did you decide what your market was? That's always interesting. I mean, a lot of companies now that are startups go the route of health. I mean, that's what they're selling.
Mm-hmm.
And health benefits. Now, is that one of your determinators in terms of how you market?
Yeah. You know, there's a couple of markets for us. There's foodies.
Yeah.
So people who just love good food that's got no rubbish in it, no nonsense in it. And that was really just kind of grew from knowing myself and what I love. I just really love good food. I enjoy. I would rather spend a little bit more on something and have a little bit less of it, knowing that it's been made with great ingredients and, you know, no chemicals and things. So I think that was a big audience of ours that we found early on. And then the other one is we know people who are looking for healthy snacks when they're working out or playing sport.
Mm-hmm.
So, or going to yoga or something, these kind of yoga mums or tennis mums or, you know, people who enjoy healthy living. So we reach those people by sponsoring as many sports teams as we can. So we sponsor women's rugby, women's squash.
There's a women's rugby team?
Yeah, believe it or not, I would run the other way if someone made me play rugby.
Exactly.
Yeah, women's rugby. Yeah, it's a very popular sport. We are snack rich, cash poor, so we just give them the crackers for their team. And they absolutely love it. And we get our crackers out into goodie bags for people for marathons or for family fun days or just anything that's like a outdoor enjoyment, healthy living kind of event. We get our crackers to those people. And, you know, first one's free, and then hopefully they come back for another.
Well, you've brought up the last of my areas of interview, and that is, I mean, we've sold people on the fact that they should taste these and that they're going to love them.
Yeah.
But how do you go about getting it? Now, you said you're in certain markets, right?
Yeah, so... yeah, it's really, we have these little 0.75 ounce, so less than an ounce, little pouch of crackers. And we're probably giving away 300 of those every day free to different events. So if we get into stores in California, we look out for activities that are happening around California, and we donate crackers, little snack packs to those events.
Great.
So the people who go to those events, who are our customers, get to try the crackers and then can buy them in their local stores. So, yeah, it's just giving away, believing in your product and really just giving away free samples as much as we can. We also demo in the stores, which, you know, is expensive, but, you know, if you get the cracker into the right person's mouth, they're going to be happy and hopefully go back and buy the crackers. And the fun thing with the sport is the name. We're the top seed in crackers, you know, so we love,
that's the top seed.
Is the best sports team, or so who knows, one day maybe we can sponsor one of those top tennis players, maybe Serena Williams, or who knows.
I think she's past that now.
She is, yeah. Maybe it would be Caitlin Clark or someone like that that we could sponsor. But we actually, our ovens, we have 6 ovens at the moment that we cook our crackers in, that do 200 boxes of crackers an hour. And we've named
those
ovens. So we're named the ovens Caitlin, for Caitlin Clark, Alex, for Alex Morgan, the soccer player, Serena, for Serena Williams, and Lydia Ko is a New Zealand, top New Zealand golfer. So, we like building that into our company culture as much as we can. But, you know, we support women and women in sport.
Well, you know, I mean, you're successful as a company. You're successful with a beautiful product that it's just top-notch quality and flavor and everything. But you're also a smart businesswoman, and that helps.
No.
So, and you know your market pretty well. So, anyhow, do you do any online sell at all? Any online sales?
Yeah, we do about 20% of our sales are online. So we have our own website where we sell, and we also sell on Amazon. You know, and those two, the stores versus the online, kind of advertise for each other.
Very good.
You know, someone goes into a store and they buy it in the supermarket, and then they check online and they can buy it online. And then they, next time they're in the store, they buy it in the store. So I feel like, you know, you have to have your product in all those places where people want to buy. And, you know, they've different margins, but they balance each other out and feed each other. So it works.
Well, you've done an amazing job with your product as well as with your marketing package and your the company. How many employees do you have?
We have about 50 at the moment. We actually employ female refugees as well from all over the world who have moved here to Buffalo.
Really?
To make Buffalo their home. Yeah, so it's a really nice environment at lunchtime. It's always good to go and see, poke my nose in to see what people have in their lunch boxes. It's really, really fun seeing all the different foods from around the world.
Rebecca Brady, you are a wonder, and so is your product. And listeners, seek it out. Top Seeds, spelled S-E-E-D-Z, and you'll be thanking us for bringing this to your attention. And I thank you, Rebecca, for talking to us and for introducing us to your wonderful product. I can't wait.
Thank you very much, Anne, for your kind words, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, and we'll spread the word as far as possible. So it's something that makes us very happy to do with such a quality product and company. So thank you for talking to us. Continued success.
Yeah, it's been fun. Hopefully I'll see you at the Fancy Food Show.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, it was huge, you remember.
It is,
So, okay, and have fun at this show.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you,
have a great
Rebecca.
Day.
And feel better.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.